made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so we're certainly thankful for God sustaining us and keeping us, looking beyond our faults and getting right to our needs. We thank him for being a healer and a deliverer. And we know that all power is within his hands. Need I remind you, as we are yet moving through this holy week, that there is no secret to what our God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do the same for you. If we but yet trust and never doubt, yes, surely he will bring us out. We're excited about what lies ahead, even as we prepare for Resurrection Sunday. And I tell you, this past Sunday, the Lord showed himself strong on our behalf. We're eternally grateful for how God moved in the worship experience this past Sunday. But here we are. We are the final week of Jesus's ministry. And I tell you, it should cause us to reflect and to think about the awesome sacrifice that was paid. It should give us a sense of reverence in terms of the humility of Jesus and how he had us on his mind and how he went through this week of so much agony and denial, and so many things were happening, even confusion among the disciples. But Jesus was on a mission and he continued to press his way. It started, of course, last Sunday with Palm Sunday, as he made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and many were disturbed by the praise and also by the fact that the people were calling him king and they were worshiping him and saying, "Hosanna to the king." And the Bible tells us that the Pharisees became quite disturbed and asked Jesus to quiet the disciples. And Jesus's response, "If these don't praise me, who are the these? These whom I've delivered, these whom have seen what I can do and how they have been the beneficiaries of the tremendous miracles and blessings. If these hold their peace," he says, "I've got some rocks that'll cry out." And so it is with us. God has been faithful. He's been kind. He's blessed in abundance. He's healed, delivered, and set free. We've seen him work in our homes. We've seen him work on our jobs. We've seen him work in situations where it looked like doors were closed. But all of a sudden, after we got up off of our knees through a time of prayer and fasting, doors began to open. He made ways out of no ways. He healed and delivered. Somebody ought to say amen. And so the same is true for us. If we hold our peace, Jesus says, "I'm not going to be limited by the fact that those whom I bless don't understand how I need their praise. And if they don't praise me, then I've got some rocks that'll cry out." So all of that happened on that Palm Sunday, but Jesus continues throughout this week that we call Holy Week. Some call it Jesus Week. He began to go to the temple. He cleansed the temple. He says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And then people began to question his authority, and they began to question his ministry and the power that he possessed. This momentum of his ministry was gathering. People were nervous and upset. They were scared. He was sharing with his disciples along the way details, preparing them for what lie ahead. And then the plots out, of course, to kill him. All of this happened this week. And then on that Monday, Thursday, we refer to it as the Last Supper. Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples, preparing them and leaving something significant for them to remember. He washes the disciples' feet. Isn't that powerful? And then he shares a very significant meal with them. And he says, "As often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me." But then the denial and the prayer in the garden and betrayal and arrest and Peter denying the Lord. And then there's rejection. And then when he goes through the process of the courts, they in turn wanted Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be sentenced. and they could not find any fault with him, but yet he was willing to pay the price that we might have life and have it more abundant. So this whole week really gives us a clear direction and focus and intention about the awesome sacrifice. And we know what happened after they chose to let Barabbas go and chose to keep Jesus. He went to the cross. He died on that Friday. Come on, somebody help me. And they buried him. And the interesting thing about it is that they buried him in a borrowed tomb. He had not even made preparations. So he had to borrow a tomb because he knew he wasn't going to be there long. Somebody ought to say amen. And so we know what happened after that. He stayed there all night Friday, all day Saturday, but early. Somebody shout early. Yeah, early that Easter Sunday morning. He got up. Didn't he get up? He got up with all power in his hands. And so here we are. We're in the midst of celebrating. We're in the midst of remembering. We're in the midst of giving God glory and honor. We're in the midst of telling the Lord, thank you. We're in the midst of not allowing our praise to come under attack. We're in the midst of making sure that we give God his due praise, his worship him. For the word says, they that worship him ought to worship him in spirit and in truth. My God, I feel excited already about, and I'm standing on tiptoe with eager anticipation about what God is going to do this week. And as I told the group last night, Lady Kim and I, as we were on Bible study, I want to encourage you to invite at least 5 people to come and be a part of the worship experience this Sunday. I just got a feeling in my spirit that God is going to move in a powerful and a mighty way. We will be streaming the service, but we want you to make sure that you invite somebody. And then this Friday, we will have our 7 last words service. 12 noon, 7 powerful preachers of the gospel, all women proclaiming the 7 last sayings of Christ. And so it's going to be an exceptional weekend. I just believe that the power and the presence of God is going to rest in the house, but we can't keep it to ourselves. We got to make sure now that we invite someone. 7 last words on Friday, 12 noon, our worship experience, and then we will have an array of activities going on Saturday with our prayer walk, our prayer drive-through, our carrying our cross. We'll have some activities for our young people with the Easter eggs and all of that. And so Sunday morning, we want to lift him high and we want to celebrate the fact that this is the cornerstone of our faith. We serve a risen Savior. Somebody shout hallelujah. And he's in the world today. You ask me how I know he lives. Y'all don't want to help me today. He lives inside of me. Well, as I was even meditating and praying and just deliberating over the whole week of denial and rejection and how Jesus was making final preparations, there's a word found in Romans, the 15th chapter, in verse number 13, I want to leave with you today. And here's what that word says, reading from the NIV version. That's Romans 15 and 13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow, isn't that powerful? That's Romans, the 15th chapter, and verse number 13. You know, we have hope in a whole lot of things, don't we? Some hope it doesn't rain. Others hope that they get a final, better grade on their finals. And some people hope that someone don't forget an anniversary or a special occasion. People even hope that they perhaps get the promotion that they so long deserved. But there are a few things that we hope for that we can find the kind of satisfaction that lasts. I mean, we hope for a lot of things. Even if we get what we hope for, then what comes next? Think about that. We have to hope for something else after we get what we've already hoped for. And while it's not bad to hope for these things, the truth is that any of these things can and will be disappointments, because if it's not met up to the kind of expectation that we anticipate is going to be as a part of what we hope for. All of these things that we might hope for in the world, they are just temporary satisfaction. But the one thing we can hope for that has lasting value is our eternity with the Lord. Wow. And that's actually something that we can hang our hats on. It's exciting to know that out of all the things that we can hope for, we can know that the hope that we have in Christ will last forever. Think of life without fear and life without pain and guilt and sorrow and sickness and loss and rejection or death. Think about this, an abundance of love and joy and peace and kindness and beauty. And when we choose to put our hope in God, we will not be disappointed. Let me say that again. I said, when we choose to put our hope in God, we will not be disappointed. And our expectations will be exceeded. Because the Bible tells us that eyes haven't seen nor ears heard, neither have there entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So how often does that happen when you are hoping for things to take place? Some of you have some hopes for today, but I'm telling you, if we put our hope in God, we will not be disappointed. So I want to share that word with you as you make your way today on the fourth day of April. As you prepare to launch out and see what God yet has in store, put your hope in God. Romans 15 and 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's the word for today. Come on, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you. God, we see how hope in earthly things is only temporary, but we choose to put our hope and trust in you for an eternal reward and living forever with you. God, we're so excited about what you're going to do in our lives and what's going to happen as a result of us putting our hope in you. We know that eyes haven't seen nor ears heard, neither have they entered into the heart of men the things that you prepared for those who love you. And so, God, we love you this morning. We love you more today than we did last night. We bless your name. We yet give you praise. God, so many are bereaved. So many are struggling. So many are without. So many people have lost everything, their possessions and their earthly possessions because of the disasters that have occurred all across this land and country. But, oh, God, we put our hope and our trust in you. We know that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above any and everything that we can ever ask or think. So God, we claim victory in spite of in the name of Jesus. And we pray for those who are bereaved and those who are yet struggling and those who are yet trying to put the pieces back together again. Now, God, we pray that you will send hope down the line, send fire down the line that will ignite us and inspire us to be the best version of who you have created us to be. And God, help us to stand on tiptoe with eager anticipation of what you are about to do. We have our hope in you, and we believe that you will see us through. So we love you today, we honor you, and we bless your name. It's in the powerful and marvelous and matchless name of Jesus, even the risen Christ, we pray. And those who love God said, amen. Well, let me give you the playback number. We have several platforms who are viewing today and listening. We're certainly grateful for your continued support. The playback number is 605-475-3228. It's 605-475-3228. And we hope that you will be a part of the various activities that's happening this week. We're in our final 4 days of our fast, and we want to encourage you to remain faithful through that process and come with a sense of expectation. Friday, 12 noon, Lady Kim has pulled together a powerful lineup for our Good Friday service at ATOP. That's right. And if you're outside of the Memphis area, You can view it on our website, and it's going to be an awesome service, and we believe that God's going to do some powerful things. And then prepare for Saturday with our Carry Your Cross, and then the prayer drive-through, and we're going to have our Easter egg hunt. We're going to have some activities for our kids, and I just believe God is going to move in a powerful and a mighty way and set us up for a tremendous breakthrough that's going to happen this Sunday. And don't forget to invite someone to be a part of what's happening in the life of the church. All right. Well, until next time, you be encouraged and keep those spiritual antennas up today, because I believe God is going to use you to be a blessing to somebody else. And remember, we're blessed to be a blessing. We're saved to do some saving. And we have been loved by God that we might love somebody else. Until next time, you be blessed.